Siren Radio.
Excellent. It's the Midweek Drive. It's the first Midweek Drive of August 2018. Happy Yorkshire Day. I know, ironic saying that in Lincoln, but still, happy Yorkshire Day. In the studio, we have magician extraordinaire. That's the fabulous David Fox. How are you, David?
Very good. Great to be back. Thanks, Alex.
Good to have you back, David, because I always feel having a little bit of magic on radio is just, it works wonders. As indeed, Tessa Snott will attest to. How are you, Tessa?
I'm very well, thank you, and I agree. I can't wait for some magic tricks.
Well, let's, from magic to Monopoly, because it would seem that actually, as a child, if you play Monopoly, it could make you rich. Did you play Monopoly as a child, Tessa Snott?
I did indeed.
David, did you play Monopoly as a child?
Very happy family memories of playing Monopoly with my dad, my mum, my brother. Very much, yeah.
Well, who better to address this whole notion of how Monopoly could make our children super rich in all sorts of ways, dramatically boosting chances of becoming millionaires, than indeed the awesome self-made millionaire, generally all-round wonderful folks, celebrity soul, etc., whether it's celebrity egghead, whether it's The Apprentice, etc. It's the fabulous Jill Fielding. How are you, Jill?
I'm very well, Alex. What a great introduction.
Jill, we always like to welcome our folk with true siren positivity and indeed the truth, which is what I've just said. So there we are. Jill, you also recently launched UK charity Money Mum, which is a wonderful sort of reading. So there's just no stopping you in so many ways. But let's dial back a little bit to this whole notion of Monopoly and how this board game can encourage youngsters to take an active interest in money and indeed an instinct to get more of it.
Yes, I think it can. I think Monopoly and games like the Game of Life, which you may also have played, what they do is that they teach young people some really fundamental key learnings. And you mentioned the charity there, Money Mum. Money Mum teaches people the financial five a day. So along with your fruit and veg, you have your financial five a day. And the five a day concepts, everybody should be able to know and to grasp. And Monopoly teaches you those. And the great thing about playing board games is that people don't think they're really learning. And of course, if they're having fun while they do it, then the message and the learnings are much easier to learn and easier to remember. So it's a great thing. Monopoly teaches you those financial five a day, and it also teaches you things like, you know, conflict resolution and negotiating skills, because you're fighting with your brother over who's going to have the Scotty dog or the iron. And, you know, it teaches you all kinds of stuff that and skills that are useful later on.
I was astounded to find that there have been 275 million Monopoly boards sold since 1935. That's, of course, the time it first appeared in the United States, which translates into a billion people playing the game. There are only 7 billion people on the planet, so that's always relatively low from that point of view. And it's been translated into 43 different languages in 111 countries. So the franchise is doing pretty well, Jill.
Well, and I suspect they've made a pretty penny from it, and obviously not all of those 7 billion people have gone on to be millionaires, because I think what happens is that as children we like money, we like shiny coins, we like treasure, we love all of that, and unfortunately as we get older we lose that magic, and I'm sure David might have something to say about that later, but we lose that magic and interest in money. And of course our society is very good at telling us that people who like money aren't very nice people, which is, you know, a bit sad, really, because I think I'm quite nice.
Jill, you are awesomely nice. This is the whole thing, you know. I mean, just looking at fieldingfinancial.com, you know, the whole notion of setting up a site to help everyone, no matter what their background, is just, you know, an awesome case of philanthropy gone to fantastic extremes. Tessa, any questions for Jill?
Yes, I mean, in terms of Monopoly, you've always got those... I mean, it was the same with my sister and I. You've always got the winner and you've always got the loser. I tended to always lose. I mean, what...
You're a winner now, though, Tessa.
Well,
you're a winner now.
You know, some people
first class honours degree, first time occupation, graduate job, co-host on the Midweek Drive.
Well, yeah, some people are very good with their money, some people aren't. So what tips and advice would you give to maybe, you know, families and the children that lose the game?
Or is it how they play the game, Jill?
Yeah, how do they... How do you become great at what you do in Monopoly?
Well, I think that it's a, you know, a lovely question, Tessa, and I think what I learned was that I should grab every opportunity as it comes. And I think a lot of people, when they play a game like Monopoly, they only want to buy the red ones or the blue ones or the purple ones or whatever it may be. I learned fairly early on that I was never going to win if I did that, because my big brother always pinched what I thought were the expensive properties. And I learned just to take every opportunity I could and to buy where I landed. And in the long game in Monopoly, what that means is that a few goes down the road, you're holding a key card and they have to negotiate with you because they want, you know, the final red one to complete the set. So it gives you a negotiating strength. And then if we take that into later life, I think the same is true. You know, opportunities are all around us, and we've just got to grab as many as we can and then just get rid of the ones we don't want. So, you know, my first tip for people is just play, just buy everything you can and just have a go, and then, you know, take it one step further next time.
Does that help, Tessa?
I think it does. There really is a tactic to the game.
Clearly. We've also been joined in the studio now by a father and daughter. Father is a singer-songwriter. We'll be hearing more of his fantastic music in a few moments. That's Neil Jackson. How are you, Neil?
I'm very fine, thank you. Thanks very much for inviting me.
Got to ask the question, Neil. Have you or do you play Monopoly with your daughter who's sitting by you at present?
Yes.
And who wins?
I don't.
Right. It's interesting than other things. David, questions for Jill from yourself.
Of course, I think it's a fantastic concept, encouraging children to play Monopoly. Me and Alex were actually chatting earlier on today about social media and the rise of the digital age. Getting the family and getting people round a board game and interacting is a great thing. And as a former school teacher myself, I can understand it's a great process to encourage people for later life. Yeah, so it's a great thing.
Yeah, no, it's good. And it's interesting you mentioned, David, there about the digital, because obviously you can play all these board games online, but it takes kind of some of the magic away, because I think we all like the tactile thing with Monopoly and, you know, playing with the figures and the money. And I think getting pleasure from that is part of your financial education, because, you know, there's nothing wrong in liking money. It doesn't make you a bad person. And, you know, I still like playing with money and holding notes and coins in my hand. And for me, money is just a facilitator. It means that if you can earn enough money from somewhere or another to pay the gas bill and feed the kids and feed the dog, then you can spend your life doing the things that are important, like being a magician and you know, running a radio station and curing cancer and saving the planet, all the big things that really matter. So for me, money is a facilitator, and anything that we can do to make people, and particularly young people, comfortable with money just as a thing, rather than being scared of it and, you know, worried about it, is all positive.
See, this is clearly why Jill should be taking over the apprentice from that Mr. Sugar. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, she's so nice and positive. I can understand you that positivity would just roll out from that point of view. Tessa, any final thoughts?
Oh, I just think it's been a really interesting topic to talk about. It's something you probably don't think about every day. So, yeah, it's just been really lovely to talk to you.
There are many different brands of Monopoly, of course, that are on the market, because it's a heap of things. There are people who actually say, well, there's the British version and there's the American version. In your experience, Jill, is it a case of it doesn't really matter about whether you're actually playing Star Wars Monopoly or Hobbit Monopoly or anything else? It's that whole notion of working through that process. And again, perhaps putting your mobile phones and devices to one side for a moment.
Yeah, I think so. But I think that absolutely proves the point about the emotional connection and the fun, because no matter how many different versions I've played, you know, the Manhattan version and all the rest of it, I still like the old Kent Road, because that's the one I played as a child, you know, the old-fashioned English one with a little Scotty dog and the iron. And you know, that's the thing that really resonates with me emotionally. And I think that proves the point, because if you can get that connection when you're young, then you carry it forward forever. So the old traditional fashioned London one for me every single time.
Let's talk about how people can actually do follow-ups on this particular piece. Would you recommend using your search engine online, of course, to access Money Mum for further details, Jill?
Absolutely. Money Mum gives you access to our charitable page, which addresses the financial five a day, the main website, which you've already mentioned, fieldingfinancial.com. People can go on that and download free tips about how to manage debt, all kinds of stuff that will be useful. They can read our blogs, follow us online. Everything's there for them.
Jill, it's awesome. And you can say goodbye to amateur landlords. You can actually solve the problem of have you ever wondered why the tax year ends on April the 5th, passing the Monopoly thing. It's just tremendous. absolutely awesome. We've got two final questions for you. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on this, your debut on the Midweek Drive? Has it been okay for you, Jill?
I've absolutely loved it. I want to do it again.
Well, that's the second.
I like the fact that there's lots of people there. It's very, very nice.
Well, indeed. So I take it then we can prevail upon your good self to join us in the not-too-distant future, and you will return?
I will be absolutely delighted and honoured, Alex, for coming in.
Jill, generally fantastic connecting with your good self. Actually, one final thing. We'll award you the role of music producer. There are so many tracks with money in them. Obviously, the Flying Lizards, money, that's what I want. The Pet Shop Boys, opportunities, let's make lots of money. Money's too tight to mention, in it for the money. Any of those float your boat, Jill?
Oh, all of them, and obviously very topical at the moment, the ABBA, money.
Do you know, I think we'll have to go with that at the end of the day. I mean, it's Bjorn, Benny, it's Mamma Mia 2. It's a round of applause, please, for Jill Fielding. Yay! Ah, there we are. It's capitalism gone crazy as far as the Midweek Drive is actually concerned. William Coles, where in the world are you today?
I am in Antibes, near Nice.
Exactly. You are in Europe, in France, doing your bits to actually keep the Entente Cordiale going in your own magical Coles-esque way, which is fantastic. And more power to your elbows. So let's just sort out the time details. In Nice, it'll be coming around to 16 and a half minutes past 6 o'clock. You're supposed to say yes, William, not go completely quiet on us. Did you?
Yes, dear.
That's all right. That's fine. That's okay. Because just sends a minor frisson of tenseness through the whole sort of system there. In the studio, four fantastic individuals. We have magician extraordinaire David Fox.
Hello. Great to be here.
Hello.
He is just sounding amazing. We have the awesome Tessa Snart.
Hello.
Exactly.
Oh, thank you.
It's very, very true. And making his debut on the production with his daughter, we have the Love God. No, sorry, that's the composer of the Love God, and yes, we'll hear that in a few seconds. It's Neil Jackson. How are you, Neil?
Good evening. I'm fine. Thank you very much.
Delighted to be able to formally welcome you to the programme, because we're a little bit concerned when David and I were having the pre-show chat, etc., and we were getting messages, and then you obviously you had the right number. You dialed in. Could I actually hear what he was saying? Hardly. You know, I just say, were you here? Were you not here? But you got here, which is the most important thing.
Absolutely.
Thanks, of course, to your wonderful daughter, which would be Lucy May, I believe. How are you, Lucy?
I'm good, thank you.
Excellent. Now, Lucy, I believe you also sing with your father, is that right?
Yes.
Yes. It's like the Osmonds, yeah, you know, and all of it.
Indeed. Yes. Mary Osmond, I remember her.
Oh,
yes. And I'm a bit like Jimmy, not Donny.
Have you ever done a cover version of Long Haired Lover from Liverpool?
No, but I've got the record.
It's a thought. I'm just yours. No, hold me back, William. Hold me back. Do you remember Long Haired Lover from Liverpool, William?
Of course I do.
No, I'm talking
yes,
so.
And Donnie and Marie.
Donnie and Paper Roses. And, of course, Cat's favourite, which, of course, was Puppy Love. And they called it Puppy. Help me, please. Let's move on from that point of view, because I know, William, you're keen to actually cast your critical ear all the way from France over the latest album, the newest album that Neil's been involved with. Neil, this is all to do with Delta High, I believe, the band itself.
Yes, absolutely. I'm actually the writer, creator, and I play most of the instruments, but can't sing.
Right, theme tune, yes, soon theme tune.
Indeed.
So, Dennis Waterman of the whole system.
Do you know what? Dennis Waterman lived two doors away from me growing up. So there you go, good link.
It's fantastic.
Spooky. So yes, so Delta High was sort of, I've been in groups ever since I left school, and Delta High I sort of created in 2014.
And that's basically you've supported a number of key for REM.
Yes, I supported REM.
Little band.
We supported REM. Yep. Nottingham City. This would have been in the 80s, so it was just before they cracked the whole world.
So before Tesla was actually born then?
Probably,
yes.
It's going to be, isn't it?
There we are.
So that was my sort of 5 minutes of stardom. But I created Delta High because I realised I hadn't actually put any music on record, as we call it. So I created a studio band. So I'm now on my third album, and the third album's just come out, which is The Love God.
Now, it's not an autobiographical number, is it?
It's not.
Because you could have been. It's like Barry Manilow or Barry White, either of those Barrys, but probably not taken together, as indeed William would probably sort of confirm.
Yeah, it's definitely not based on me. It's just a word that I heard on Jeremy Cole, believe it or not. I think I saw it, and I thought, what a great term. So I decided to
Jeremy Love God Kyle.
Indeed.
A sentence I never thought I'd utter on broadcast media, but there we are.
So I've sort of pulled the album that, and to be honest, it's just a very summary album, so it's sort of
I've been listening to some of the tracks. I mean, I particularly like Fantasy Island. I think that's great. I think Happy Days is wonderful, but we'll go with the title track, because it was intriguing, because the first opening bars of this, you think, what's he doing? Where's he taking us on this little journey? And I think it'll go down the line very nicely for Nice. So, William, are you ready to listen to The Love God, which is going to be introduced in a few seconds by the awesome Neil Jackson?
Okay, so this is The Love God. It's the opening track. And for those very clever people out there, they'll actually hear 10 seconds of me at the start.
I thought so. Yeah, I could detect that. William, yes, are you ready for this?
Yep. Fire away.
Thank you. just don't care.
Tessa, as the host and co-producer of Sound and Country Vision, what do you think? A round of applause?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Round of applause. Yay! Title track of the album, The Love God, from Delta High there. What did you make of that little number? David?
Excellent. Very relaxing for this time of the day. I'm sure that the listeners back home or in the car will have enjoyed that one.
It's a mellow kind of programme. That's what you need. Theme show, which is exactly my program. But our opinions don't matter a bean when you've got William Coles from Nice online, because this could actually sort of send in a whole range of things. William, what did you make of The Love God?
I thought it was fantastic. And as I was listening to it, I thought, Axe has got himself a new anthem.
Yeah. Okay, fine. We'll motor on to a different routine. I'm going to ask a question before I open it up for William to quiz you guys. Delta High, has it got is there a connection with, is it like Fast Times at Vermont High? Is it Americanism that you've gone for there? Is it a case of, I was looking for Delta as in the change in Delta H that you get in high energy physics. That's the sort of notion there. So Delta High means you're sending up the temperature, etc.
Oh, I was absolutely definitely thinking of physics when I named the band.
Good choice.
Not. No, to be fair, I had no idea what to call the band, so I opened up a dictionary. I was looking at words, single words.
You could call it Lucy's Band.
And I could have called it Lucy's. Do you know what? I actually supported a band called the Lucy's Band. Well, so when I toured with REM, the other band were called the Lucy's Band. So this is really weird.
So actually, Lucy, you were named after a band that your father once toured with.
Indeed. But I actually love the word Delta. And I thought, what goes with Delta and High? So I put Delta High together. Mm. So I sort of launched myself as Delta High and then realised it was a school in America. When I went onto Facebook and put my website
media
on, it was swamped with a girls' school in America.
Exactly.
I'm thinking, how do we get out of this? So there's two of us.
Many people would not have wanted to, but that's another line entirely,
indeed,
which we won't go into for obvious reasons. Questions from yourself, Bill Coles.
Who is the love god? who is the inspiration for it?
It's in people's minds. I mean, who's the love god? I mean, it's one of those things that different people have different thoughts on. So I sort of called it the love god, and it's not aimed at a particular person. It's aimed at people who hear the song and have their own image of who their love god is.
Mastered by legendary producer John Astley, who has worked with a few folk you may have heard of, The Who, Eric Clapton, ABBA. I don't know, have you heard of those guys? I think they're the beat combos around.
Rings a bell.
Exactly. feel good factor from that perspective. Will you be taking this to a whole new level? Will you be touring with that whole thing?
Yes.
Is it live music? What's the intention?
Okay, so at the moment, we're a studio band. This is the third album, but I've now recognised that I do actually need to go out and do some concerts. So at this moment in time, I'm actually forming a live band. I've got the singer, the guy who you can actually hear on the records. Mm. There's also a couple of female vocalists, but I'm actually out there looking for a drummer, bass player.
Is an open audition in many ways.
It is sort of, yeah. So if
Bill, this could be your time. Can you do triangle or indeed tambourine?
Yeah,
I could see Bill Coles actually as the cute one at the front of the group, a bit like the Monkees and Davy Jones. You know, he used to play his tambourine. You know, that's the line from that. It's way forward.
Yes.
What better way to...
Like Mick Jagger was very keen on his sort of tambourine.
Mick Jagger and his tambourine. Whoa.
That would be good.
It's a whole new world from that point of view. Let's swing the microphone over briefly to your daughter, if that's okay, because she's come over here to support her dad, which is wonderful. Lucy, how did you get involved with the band? Was that a case of something you've grown up with, a musical family? You sort of thought, yeah, this is the essential part of the whole thing. Is this a case of, well, it's one way of actually saying, I'm in a band, I'm doing it. What's your journey?
I mean, it's really good to say that I'm in an album, like playing music and everything. And I think my family have a background of doing a lot of different things, like music and being on stage. So, yeah, it is really good to say that I'm a part of it.
Excellent. Which is great. Tessa?
I have a question for Lucy.
Yeah.
My family's very similar. I have a mum that sings and we've grown up with the music. How does it sit with your friends? I mean, I bet you come out with really, really old traditional songs and I bet they think, oh, what's that? Yeah, how does it sit with them and how do you find that?
Well, I don't really know, to be honest, because I like a mixture of music. Yeah. So I think they just, I don't know, they just think it's fine and normal, to be honest.
Oh, brilliant.
But, yeah, they think it's cool that I'm in an album.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Brilliant.
It's a way forward. And thankfully, Neil, you haven't taken the Britain's Got Talent route. Lord, please stay away from that.
I think my daughter would have liked to have taken that route, but not for me.
Doing it the right way.
You've got to work through that. William, any final words of advice or suggestions or thoughts? Do you think the French market could be cracked by Delta High? Or Delta High?
Yeah, can we do the songs in French? Mm. They get a bit shirty about English over here.
Oh, is it still Le Weekend, Le McDonald's, Le Anglophile, Le Roast Beef? They have to calm down in the whole system. It's a bigger, wider world, and admittedly, France might well have had the language of diplomacy, etc. Actually, Lucy, do you speak French?
No, not at all.
No, well, there we are, you see. Let's see, Lucy doesn't speak it, it's pointless. Yeah,
just need a translator, it's fine.
Exactly, a translator or indeed subtitles. Either of those would work extraordinarily well from the whole perspective. We're going to find out a lot more about a whole range of bits and pieces. I was actually just wondering whether we should actually call in the French World Cup people to actually do their little bit of whether they can actually see things. So I think yes, they have actually emerged in the studio. Oh, wonderful! Yeah, you can hear it now. Allez, 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 les bleus. Allez, love God. Allez, love God. Allez, 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 Delta High, etc. It's just crazy. They win the World Cup and they just go crazy, honestly. So we're going to find out more about Delta High as the programme proceeds, because Neil and Lucy will be staying with us for the duration. So will David Fox. Tessa, hopefully, will hold on to her for a wee while longer, because coming up next, we've got a song that I cannot believe Leany Jane has never actually covered, because I think this would be an absolutely perfect song for Leany Jane to cover. It's a particular favourite. It times past, it's almost brought tears to my eyes. I'll have to hold myself back, obviously, for professional readings on this particular aspect. I'll throw the artist over to yourself, Bill, before those last two questions. Have you ever heard of Gail Garnett?
I've heard of Alf Garnett.
Yeah, you see, this is it. This is the completely... David, Gail Garnett?
I've not actually, no. Sorry.
No, he only had two hits. One of them actually made number one, number four in the various things in the early 60s, but awesome little number there. She's still around. She's doing her star set. Originally based in New Zealand. Country artist, has opened up a whole range of things there, so I'm thinking you might consider this, Tessa. But before we do that and listen to Gail Garnett with We Sing in the Sunshine, would you like to put those last two questions to a person who is in the sunshine, as we are in Lincoln, of course, because it's simply sensational? That would be Bill Coles. Tessa, over to you.
William, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
Oh, I've loved it, Tessa. Thank you so much for asking.
You're very welcome. And will you be returning to the show soon?
Yes, just as soon as the boss asks me.
Sunshine, we'll laugh every day, we'll sing in the sunshine, then I'll be on my way. I will never love you, the cost of love's too dear, but though I you every night, but darling, don't cling to me, I'll soon be out of sight. outside, but we can sing in the sunshine. We laugh every day. We'll sing in the sunshine. Then I'll be on my way. My daddy, he once told me, hey, don't you love you just take what they may give you and give but what you can. And you can sing in the sunshine. You laugh every day. You'll sing in the sunshine. Then be on your way. And when a year has ended, speak about me, and this is what you'll say. We sang in the sunshine. You know we laughed every day. We sang in the sunshine. Then she went on away.
Tessa, which midweek driver do you think we might be going to now, who's currently doing duties in Saltfleet, although I believe she's actually driving back from Hull at this particular moment in time?
I think it's Eva MacDonald.
Is it Eva MacDonald? Are you indeed there?
Yes, I am there. Hello.
Excellent. This is what we like to hear. Now, whereabouts are you, Eva, in this fine county of Lincolnshire, or are you still in Yorkshire on this wonderful Yorkshire Day? Yes, I'll say again, happy Yorkshire Day. What have you done to celebrate Yorkshire Day, David Fox?
Well, I've enjoyed a coffee with you. A Costa coffee as
exactly.
Well. A real one.
Oh, exactly. I brought my flat cap. I've left it in the office, but the flat cap is there to be thrown up in the air at a suitably appropriate time. Tessa?
I've had a Yorkshire cup of tea.
You've had a Yorkshire cup of tea?
Yorkshire tea bags. Yeah.
Genius. Neil Jackson?
Will I watch Jeff Boycott score 100?
Genius.
So, on a replay, obviously.
Oh, no, yeah, exactly. Time travelling. Curiously enough, next week, Graham Lloyd coming to talk about the Six Sixers, that Gary Sobers scenario that took part all those time against. A little tease ahead there. And as we said, and as Graham actually said, that ball that was sold at auction for £26,000 is not the real ball. Wow. It's his investigative side of things there. Lucy. Yorkshire Day is a case of, are you mad? I'm from Norwich, you know, I'm from Norfolk, going to Yorkshire, all those strange people there. So, nothing to celebrate Yorkshire Day.
No.
It's
have a Yorkshire pudding. Yeah.
Exactly so. And Eva, have you done anything to celebrate Yorkshire Day? Or is it a case of, I'm a Lincolnshire lass, you know, I wait for Lincolnshire Day later on in the year?
No, I've just been driving through Lincolnshire. Towards Hull today.
And Hull, of course, is in East Riding of Yorkshire. Pop quiz question.
Right near there.
Do you know why we actually have the East Riding, we have the West Ridings, we have the North Ridings, we don't have the South Ridings?
No, I don't. No.
Anybody in the studio?
You'll have to tell me.
No. Well, we'll put folk out of the challenging times, etc. It's simply because Riddings translates from the old Anglo-Saxon word, a Viking word, for thirds. And what the Vikings actually did in their cunning ways, they split the county up into three parts. So obviously you just have three parts. You don't have you would never otherwise be quarters. You see, different line. They split the whole county up into quarters. Something which just stuck in my mind over the years. I don't know why, but still it's going on to 23 minutes to 6 o'clock here on Siren Radio. And as we said, we have Eva MacDonald, who is in Lincolnshire at present because she's travelled back from Yorkshire. So cue the jingle.
Singer, scholar, festival ambassador and midweek drivette. It's Eva MacDonald on the Midweek Drive.
So, Tessa, Eva was equally devastated that you couldn't join Sue Rice and myself to paddle in the sea with Eva. Actually, it was only Sue who said it.
Well,
that's a lot of fun.
I bet it was.
fish and chips in Maplethorpe. Oh. What more could you wish for, really, from that point of view?
Exactly. I missed out on a good day. Exactly. We'll have to do it again.
Precisely. We'll sort out, but any questions you'd like to put to Eva about life and so on?
Yes, well, Eva, you're always busy, aren't you? What have you been up to so far? Are you still dancing? What's going on?
But I was at Saltfleet
Saltfleet
yesterday, and then I was just
I actually did my cabaret set yesterday.
Oh, okay.
And I tried out a few new numbers, which I haven't done before, so it was quite nice. I covered quite a bit of The Greatest Showman, actually.
Wow.
So that was what I've been doing yesterday, and then also just my usual presenting.
Well, I mean, you see this, but if we look at Eva's Facebook page, look, there it is now. Oh, left-hand side of the headphones.
We can see Eva with
a cuddly toy with a rabbit behind her. It's just amazing. You know, actually photographs on stage of Eva McDonald entertaining the multitudes at Saltfleet. Now, David, you're a professional. I'm sure Eva, if you're wanting a very talented singer, songwriter, former Miss Lincolnshire, etc., Eva has to be your go-to girl, surely?
Definitely, without a doubt. That is the proof. Proof of the pudding.
Look, she's even got a microphone in her hand and is actually singing there. Looks as though she's belting out a story, and those children look either as though they're terrified or they're sort of aghast with the whole thing. I mean, I've never seen you, Eva, I don't think, wear that kind of hairstyle before. You've got a sort of...
a JoJo bow.
That's a JoJo bow.
Called a JoJo bow. What the kids call it.
Oh, yeah. Aren't they like them really expensive bows? Is it with the jewels on?
Mine's like a fake one, so it's not that expensive.
Okay. Oh, no, they're, yeah.
A fake JoJo bow.
Yeah, I've heard of these. Mm. They were like the rage.
Were Dealey Boppers. I've never actually worn them. 1980s reference there, but still.
Yeah, but it suits Eva's hair because she's got the beautiful long hair.
Well, this is it. And Lucy, JoJo Bows?
Them big ones. I've never heard of them.
Yeah.
Oh,
no. Haven't quite crossed the boundaries to Norfolk. It'll be there. Eva, as a singer and personification of wonderfulness, it's a chance for you to actually listen to another Delta High piece of magic now. And would you like to make a decision as to which one you'd like to put forward for this, Neil, or shall I just take a random choice and go for that? It's entirely up to yourself.
Mind games.
Eva, we're not giving you a choice in this one. We're taking it to Neil Jackson.
Eva, say mind games.
Oh, mind games.
Good choice.
We've got. It was almost like a David Fox magic trick there. You know, it was that mind games in present.
I got a job at this rate. Yeah.
It'll happen, and nothing to do with John Lennon.
No.
Not it. Thank you.
Well, Mind Games on the airwaves, Mind Games on the studio. Eva, what did you make of the joyous summer sound of Mind Games with Delta High?
Well, look, it's quite a nice tune to drive to. It's quite a very, it's a nice uplifting tune.
Nice uplifting tune. Positive from that sort of thing. And Tessa, you've been very closely observing the awesomeness of David Fox's Mind Games from that point of view.
That song played very nicely in the background while we were Mind Games, actually.
But more than that, magic. That's the whole thing. Magic, Neil, what did you make of those? Surely the ideal accompanist for all your Delta High live gigs.
That was absolutely fantastic. It blows my mind.
We take a magician and musician, and you put them on the same show, and it's...
And do you know what you need to do? You need to play Pilot Magic whilst you're doing the show.
Right, I'll remember this.
It's a great song, and it will complement these fantastic tricks.
Well, this is what it's all about, music and magic. they both go together. It's symbiotic.
It works so well. Lucy, up close with respect to a magician, professional magician, did it work for you?
Yeah.
A little bit scared there, Lucy. I think, where's it going? Sorry. It's going to Tessa, putting those last two questions to Eva, of course.
Oh, Eva, it's been lovely speaking with you.
Have
you enjoyed your time on the show today?
I have. I always enjoy it.
And are you coming back to us soon?
Of course. I will come back next week or so.
There we are, you see. Exactly. It's just Eva McDonald continues ever onwards. And as if by magic... So there we are, David. That's what you should actually use as the initial backing track, according to, of course, the fabulous Neil Jackson, magic and pilot. Something which is magical, Tessa, of course, is the Burley Horse Trials. Do you remember last year, Burley Horse Trials?
How could I forget? I love the Burley Horse Trials.
Do you remember Pilgrim's Fudge from Holy Island?
Yes, and it is amazing. I remember, you know, chatting to the lovely girl there. I can't remember her name now. But
well, if we look at the running order of the schedule,
it's on here.
We actually see the person who's lined up immediately after we've done
Charlotte.
Ava McDonald. It's Charlotte Mundy! Yay! How are you, Charlotte? And what's life like up in that northern territory that is Lindisfarne or Holy Island?
Yeah, very well, thank you, very well. Thank you for having me back, first of all.
We just lost a little bit of that, probably in the hospital system. Did you say you were still in Holy Island, or you've just come home? What's the lie?
I've just come home and getting ready to make search for the evening.
Oh, right. So, what else do you do on a Wednesday other than actually make fudge? And if we look at the Pilgrim Fudge website there, delectable fudge for you and your family to enjoy. We've got a whole range of fudges. Let's throw this up. David, any of those fudges spring to mind? Are you a triple layer fudge person? A honeycomb caramel, a raspberry ripple, a vanilla and caramel one?
Oh, it's got to be vanilla, without a doubt. So Every time.
Tessa, you've obviously had the opportunity last year, and hopefully again this year, to connect with our Fudge Kitchen. Any favourite spring to mind?
Honeycomb caramel, every time.
Honeycomb caramel. Yeah. Okay. Lucy, favourite fudge?
I've got a stick of chocolate.
So you're on the chocolate caramel.
Definitely.
That's right. And Neil?
Well, I won't fudge about with my words. It's got to be vanilla. For me,
another vanilla.
Indeed.
I mean, hopefully you appreciate the fantastic little bit of audience research we're doing for you at this moment in time, Charlotte. So you kind of know when you move south again, and because obviously David, even further north from you, obviously being from Scotland originally.
That's right.
I mean, deep fried fudge?
It could be a hit.
Something we could always
if you want a cardiothoracic moment, etc. As in deep fried Mars bars, I should get a brand aligned for that. Would be not a healthy lifestyle choice at all. and then of course there's the cream egg, which has also been deep fried. In fact, they've deep fried most things really. Right. It just shouldn't be done.
Goes well with iron brew. Always a hit.
Yeah, if you want to make somebody completely type 1 or type 2 hypoglycemic, which is fine. Yeah, anything down the diabetes line, go down that route. Tessa, what questions would you like to put to Charlotte about what she's been doing now and how, in the not-too-distant future, hopefully the whole Snart family will join us on a location report in Holy Island?
Yes, well, you said you're going to be busy making some more fudge. I mean, on our screen now, there's only six different types of fudge, but I know when I saw you at the Burley Horse Trials last year that there was many on offer. I mean, are there any new flavours coming up, or what are you baking?
Yeah, constantly baking flavours, but I think that basically people like the girl classics, as you sort of gone through, and so there's going to be just as many flavours this year at Burley.
So the mint swirl, is that going to be one there?
It is.
Yeah, so maple pecan, of course, raspberry riddle, salted caramel, toffee apple.
Peanut chocolate.
Always peanut chocolate. The banoffee, of course, which is the cappuccino. Once again, we promote it. Does she send any fudge down to us? it's almost as though she's just... I think so, Charlotte. I mean, not that I want, but you know, it's you.
I think actually that was wrong. You were supposed to come up and see me, and there was a box of fudge waiting on the counter for your arrival.
I did get a piece, when I was there. Yeah, you did.
I will admit, so we can
give it that presenter endorsement of the whole thing, which is wonderful. Website, best place to go to in terms of finding out some of the details, because you do obviously have mail order as well. Presumably, pilgrimfudge.co.uk. Marvellous.
And you are on Instagram, aren't you? Because I follow your posts quite regularly.
Yeah, we're on Instagram. We're pretty busy at the moment with it being summer holidays. So we haven't got too much fresh stuff going on Instagram, but the shop is still alive.
And let's just talk a little bit about your location, because I think it's fair to say, I mean, David, have you ever been to Lindisfarne or Holy Island?
I've not actually, no. No, but I believe it's beautiful.
Tessa?
Yeah.
Never.
Nope. Neil?
I haven't, but I've bought the album.
Nice. See what you did there. Yeah, very good. That's the reference there. And Lucy?
No.
So why should we make that journey from Lincoln, Norwich, Glasgow, Nottingham, Peterborough and other parts of the world, Middlesbrough, to see you in Holy Island as long as we can check our tide times and don't get cut off? Because obviously as you cross that causeway, the reason it's called an island is there's water surrounding it at certain times.
So why should you come bring it? Mm. One, fudge, two ice cream, three... We've got the most castles in the UK, almost.
Do you know, you might have the best castle or the best fudge. You've probably got the worst phone line, but never mind. That's a different line yes, entirely. let's go through those 3 points again. And it's a miracle we can actually reach you from that sort of point of view, really. I mean, past times, we actually have to use two cans on the end of a line here. Or maybe carry a pigeon, which isn't great for the dynamic. Could you just say those three reasons again, please?
Yes, certainly.
Fudge, ice cream and castles.
Why would you not want to go there?
We'll sort it through. Indeed, I'm conscious of the fact that I did say to the Snart family we'd have several sort of treks up for that point of view, so we'll work our way forward. Go on, Tessa. You've got the wonderful star. Last two questions, please, for Charlotte, before we head off to have a brief chat with Anna Lewis, who will probably have been investigating some other part of London entirely.
Yes. Have you had a fudge-tastical show today? Or telephonic link with us today?
It's been fantastic.
Good, yeah. Despite the connection issues. And will you,
I'm sorry.
And will you be joining us again on the show in the near future?
If you want me to.
Oh, a round of applause for Charlotte, who, despite challenging lines, etc., she made it through. Time to cue another new young musical artist who will be featured on both Midweek Drive and Sound and Country Vision before too long.
Hi, this is Liv Austin, and you're listening to Siren Radio, a fresh sound for Lincoln.
I'm not looking for a pretty face. Hot for the head's just empty space. Perfect hair, perfect teeth. Spends more time getting ready than me. Nothing more to say past the first day conversation. Might look good behind that glass, but it doesn't work like that. I gotta try you on when you had all night long. Don't care if you're fit, just if we fit up. Suddenly you got it going on. If you give me a feeling so strong, I've got no hope in stopping, and I'm not gonna find that window shopping. I don't care if you wear Chanel. It's never been important what it says on the label. If your edge is straight, I don't mind. That just makes you one of a kind. There's something I want more than just good conversation. Might look good at first sight, but that doesn't mean it's right. 'Cause I gotta try you on where you at all night long. Don't care if you fit, just if we fit up. To me you got it going on. If you give me a feeling so strong, I've got no hope in stopping, and I'm not gonna find that window shopping. No. Window shopping. Attraction. Won't get it from how you look, I get it from attention. Don't have to question, just know that you got me hooked. Gotta feel the connection, feel the attraction. Won't get it from how you look, I get it from attention. Don't have to question.
I to look at. But I love him.
I gotta try you on, where you at all night long. Don't care if you're fit, just if we fit up. All out. To me, you got it. Connection.
Oslo born, now resident in London. That was Liv Austin. And we thank Tessa for the magic of Liz Austin joining us, as indeed does her agency, The Joys of Kate from Future Proof Promotions, who actually said, to your good self, Tessa, your support for window shopping would be most appreciated. Should you wish to interview Liv or run a signed CD competition, please get back to us and arrange what we have. And we're sorting things out. She's coming through in this combination of Midweek Drive, come Sound and Country Vision.
Yes.
So well
can't
done.
Wait.
Splendid. Did you enjoy Liv Austin all the way down in London? And where are you, Anna Lewis?
Absolutely, a corner of Richmond.
Oh.
It's very nice around here.
Richmond upon Thames, it would be, as opposed to Richmond, North Yorkshire, which I would probably say is a lot better overall, because you don't have that Thames going through the whole thing. That's what it's called. It's called Richmond upon Thames. Thank you. Bursting in all so many ways there. Anna. Have you ever encountered Delta High?
It rings bells, but no,
really?
Refresh my memory.
Yeah, you see, this I was teasing her because she actually said, yes, they're my favourite band. I would have thought, my word, she's awful. You're straight in from that point of view. Because we have... Now, you're not lead singer, are you, Neil? You've already made that because we've only heard a little bit. Who is the lead singer with Delta High?
Damien Ives is the lead singer. I did actually... initially sing, and everyone fell about laughing.
Really?
So I hired Damien to come in and replace my vocals.
So that's Damien?
Yes.
Damien Ives. Damien Ives. Yes. Is he any relation to Burl Ives?
I don't know Burl Ives, but he is related to Horrible Ives. He used to be on Porridge.
Well, there we are. See, just shows that magical... we also have a magician in the studio. Let's face it, every time we actually do a midweek drive with your good self, Anna, magic ensues. That's David Fox.
Great to be here today.
David.
And how are you doing? You keeping well?
Yep, all's well in this top corner of the world, yep.
When last you spoke to Anna Lewis, of course, David, Anna was in Jersey. She was our Jersey correspondent. Since then, in a desperate attempt to get closer to your good self and the Siren Studios in England, she's moved to London, specifically Isleworth.
Oh, there we are.
It's all right. Yeah. Can't give any other details out, because who knows what fans would actually get. They just go crazy. I mean, already I have to apologise to citizens of Isleworth, because there'll be people flocking through the whole system, hammering on doors and saying, let us in, you know, where's Anna Lewis, etc. But Anna's also become a kind of floating London correspondent, not that she does boating work
very
on the Thames, but
yes.
There's a variety of other bits and pieces from that point of view. So, I mean, have you got any questions you want to put to Anna about life, the universe, and so on?
Well, how are you finding the adjustment to life now in London,
it's
Anna?
Hard.
I mean, it's a massive
it's
change.
Yeah. You feel like a headless chicken because you want to do everything and you realise you can't. So I'm not working at the moment and I want to go and see every exhibition there is on the planet. But then there's only a limited hours in the day when you can. But I'm getting there. There's things I try and do every day that's just a bit different, even if it's visiting Tesco, which, you know, it's a novelty to me, I have to admit.
Of course. I mean, exactly. Other supermarkets are available, but what the hey, a little bit of product endorsement, I'm sure they need every help they can actually get, especially as they're sort of into all sorts of merger talks, I'm sure, with various companies. However, Anna, it's time for us to have another little delight of Delta High. That's the band. And I'm going to give you a choice.
Okay.
Happy Days, as in D-A-Z-E, or to use the American routine, D-A-Z-E. So I did that.
Yeah.
We're aware that Phil Leonis might be listening, our American correspondents and so on. Happy Days or Fantasy Island. Bath, eat de plane. No, it's not that one. But is that...
Yes, you're absolutely right.
Really?
Yes.
It is based on that classic Hervé Villechaize and Ricardo Montalban series. Use Amazon or various other streaming services to check out Fantasy Island. It's not Love Island, totally different.
Not
all right?
Skegness Fantasy Island. You wasn't thinking of that. The theme park.
Skegness did pass my mind, and then when it went past, it was definitely the TV show.
Exactly. David, do you recall that series on Friday nights? It used to be sort of there where basically there were usually three stories, bit of an anthology. People would actually arrive on this island. It would be opened up by Hervé Villechaize, French actor, I believe, who was in The Man with the Golden Gun, etc., who'd say, Bas, eat the plane! And off he'd trot, and then people would actually... It's like moral stories. There was a moral to each story, much more than you got with Danny Dyer, still. Did you ever consider Neil naming Lucy Neil? You know?
Did I consider...
Yeah.
Because
the same thing, isn't it? Danny. You know, you could have called it... I mean, Lucy, would you have liked to have been called Neil Jackson after your father?
Definitely not.
No. Yeah, it's just. I mean, you know, it'd be too much. And you're, in your father, Tessa, and David, if you'd been called David, David Snart, it was just, no.
Well, when my mum's having a mad moment, sometimes, you know, I could be called Ralph the dog, or, you know, Ralph that's probably the closest to David I'll get.
Yeah. Anyway, the question was, no. David, named after obviously the man who slew Goliath. What did you actually, did you remember Fantasy Island?
I was more of a Tales of the Unexpected man. Do you remember that? Was that a Saturday night, though?
That was a Saturday, night. Yes, that was Roald Dahl's Tales of the Unexpected.
That's right.
Or, as many wags have often said, Tales of the Blinding the Obvious, but you never mind. Presumably, Anna, you were far too busy doing your English work at that particular time and doing your literary material as opposed to watching commercial television and Fantasy Island.
Yeah, I must admit, I didn't watch much TV, only Bergerac.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I watched.
And why? Yeah. Because it was set on Jersey. End of. You know. So a Fantasy Island after a fashion, but not quite the one we're looking for. Are you ready, Anna, to listen to Delta
sure
High and Fantasy Island?
Lovely.
Just can't get you out of my mind. What saith you, Anna Lewis?
Oh, it's lovely. It felt really tuneful. I really enjoyed that.
It's a round of applause time, I feel. Yay! Tessa did that in the words of our Newcastle friends, Fluit your boot.
It did indeed.
Every so often I like to sort of do a token Geordie impression there. It's just for you, Lennox, don't worry. It's very good. Fluit your boot. As in, thee shall have a dishy and a little fishy when the boot comes in. Don't worry, I haven't been possessed, Lucy. It's just some of the things northerners occasionally tend to do. Are you sure you don't?
Well, we do have a magician in the house, so you're never nice.
Anything could come round, he says, as he spins round and round. Let's go into another form of magic. What questions would you like to put, then, to the composer of Service Track, who featured Damien and Verity, I believe, on vocals, about Delta High and more?
You're asking me, yes?
I am asking you, Anna.
Yes, go on.
The microphone is on yourself.
I know this is a dark question, but how easy is it to put together a song? I mean, is it a kind of, is it to one person, or do you just strum a few bars and just go with the flow? Does it come out of some improvisation rather than actually sitting down saying we are going to write something now?
That's actually a very good question. Each song derives from a different situation. If I ever sat down and thought I need to write a song, I wouldn't actually write a song, because when it's forced on, it's not natural. So, I mean, with the song you just heard, I was actually on a beach in Great Yarmouth, believe it or not, and I just felt so summery and happy. I just wrote the song. I just wanted that sort of feeling. So I didn't force myself to write it. Words came into my head. A lot of musicians, including myself, will actually write songs because they hear a song they really like, and they sort of they don't actually steal the words or the music, but they try and mimic that type of style. So I do that as well.
So the tune comes after the writing of the lyrics, you think?
In my case, I come up with the tune first. I have a tune in my head, and then I write the lyrics to the tune. Because when I go into the studio, I sort of play the instruments, create the music, and then sit back and think, how can I sing to that? And I write the words.
Wow. There is a process, in other words, but it's very kind of driven by the situation.
Absolutely, yes. It depends where I am and what I'm doing, how I'm feeling. And luckily this year I've felt very good, and it's all summery.
Well, that's good, and that's art.
Yes.
You know, it's not as if you're sitting down at a table, you've been told to do something, and you do it because it's, we need to cobble up a new song, let's just sit down and do one. You know, that's not art. That's self-official, but
absolutely.
Not art.
Yeah.
You can't have genius on demand, no matter what our government ministers will actually say. It's just not going to happen. They don't allow that creativity to work through. David, do you find the same, that some of your best magic emerges from the moment when you're feeling most relaxed, when you can actually get in touch with the subconscious and so on?
Without a doubt. Many performers say that in the moment, you can quite often find creativity. And I'm sure Neil, Tess, Lucy and yourself, Alex, you'll agree with that. That those things that come from the ether, so to speak, yes, without a doubt.
Extraordinary. And if you'd like to go on to our Facebook page for Southside Broadcasting, I have used the magic that Mark Zuckerberg put in place to actually put on various images of the team there, including actually yours truly actually having pensive moment with Eva MacDonald outside Mablethorpe. I know it's most peculiar, but there we are. It's all sorted through there. Now, key question we haven't actually asked to the Delta High creator. That would, of course, be Neil. How can people actually use social media, a little hump as I come across that, to actually access details and indeed probably get hold of the album we've been playing today, which, of course, is The Love God?
The album's actually available on digital media. You can get it on iTunes. You can also get it on Amazon Digital. We've got a Facebook page as well, and that's because we also have the same name as this school in America. We've had to change it slightly, so it's facebook.com, and it's Delta High the Band is how you find us on Facebook. But the actual music will be Amazon, and it will be iTunes. It's also available on Spotify.
Oh, good. Yeah, Spotify. You get lots of things on that. It's good, isn't it?
Yes.
Brilliant. Oh, thanks for that. Cheers.
Thanks, Anna.
Just truly wonderful. I was actually trying to work through the whole thing. I found actually the Delta High musician band, 60s, 70s. Good heavens. Sorry, I was just looking at the people actually in shorts and so on. Is this the Delta High we're referring to? Is that Delta High? Is that your name?
that's the Love God cover. Yes.
That is the Love God. So we are actually right there. No, I've never seen a profile picture. I've never quite seen a profile picture that sort of was so focused on the middle parts of the
news. You need to see the whole picture.
Well, clearly, exactly. You know, that's a definite line.
We're only getting half a picture.
However, what do you think, Tessa? Should we like it?
Yeah,
should we like it?
Yeah,
I'm going to press the like. What do you think, David? Should we like it?
Definitely.
Okay, I've just done it. It's sorted through. I have actually pressed the like page on the grounds of actually. You see, there we are. It's a lot better when you actually click on the image because suddenly you think, "Woo! Is this a kind of guess the torso?" It's amazing. Life continues. Tessa, last two questions, please, for Anna.
Anna, have you had an interesting telephonic link with us this evening?
I certainly have, thank you.
And will you be returning to the show next week?
Oh, I'd love to, thank you very much. Cheers.
Sloopy, hang on. That's the important thing. More magic is taking place in the studio. And again, it's awesome. I mean, Lucy, you've seen it with your own eyes.
Yeah.
Are you speechless? Is it a case of, well,
mind blowing.
Exactly.
I don't know how you do it. It's like.
And,
yeah.
Neil, from your own perspective, do you now believe there is a tooth fairy and Santa Claus? Have you had your faith in magic restored?
I absolutely love that. I mean, I grew up with Tommy Cooper. And it was laughful.
Just like that.
And it, just like that. This is something special. I was really, really impressed. Mm.
The thing that impresses me, and I shall spare David's blushes on this particular routine, is when you look at the big scale magic, and you look at Tommy Cooper, so you think, well, actually, that's on a sort of TV thing. You've got a whole range of things there. This, David's actually being looked at from all angles. Because, I mean, Tessa, you're pretty much sort of into the whole thing. And, I mean, Tessa, you haven't sort of said, oh, I know how it's been sussed at such.
No clue at all. And you are brilliant, sort of, the way you explain everything and really get everybody involved. It's, you know, it's a skill,
Tessa.
And it's brilliant. Yeah.
So, Phil Leonis getting married in the new year to Lily Holliman. Clearly, they want some entertainment and got Dean Hagland as the best man. Very important, you know, as revealed on Chilpack Hollywood Hour this very week, which is wonderful.
Well, they've got their band and they've got their magician sorted, really, haven't they?
Precisely. I mean, I'm thinking already, you know, Delta High. I mean, what a wonderful transatlantic connection that could be. Delta High, and they're from Norwich. Or Norfolk. Norfolk? Norwich?
Norwich, yeah.
Norwich, literally from Norwich.
Can't you tell from my accent?
I'd say beautiful, but that obviously would set us down all sorts of things there. And Bernard Matthews, let's face it, was not Turkey's best friend. Sorry. Turkey's a step away from the line on that sort of system. So, I mean, you do weddings, of course, do you not, David?
Of course, I have a wedding this Saturday. It's a place called Stubton Hall, down near Newark. It's a beautiful venue. Really, it's always great there. Really looking forward to it. And weddings are very, very special events.
And how pretty, well, they are, I would hope so, for the people who are actually tying the knot, really. Otherwise, what's the point, really? The most special day ever. Would you like to say how people can get in touch with your good self through having sort of seen and heard, perhaps not seen, unless they're spying in the studio without us knowing, in the mind's eye, your awesomeness? How can people get in touch with David Fox Magic?
That's very kind of you, Alex. My website is www.amagician-midlands.co.uk, and I'm on Facebook as David Fox Magician if you want to find me. Thank you.
That's probably okay. So time for, I feel, another little smidgen of music from Delta High, particularly as we put them forward as being the band to actually perform for the Phil Nearness wedding, which I think is, I mean, it's okay, he'll fly you over, I'm sure. The budget will stretch that routine. Only kidding, Phil, don't worry. But we can take your call now whenever you feel like connecting via Skype, if indeed he's listening. We don't know. Would you like to make another selection from your recently released album that you'd like to share with the world? Alternatively, we could have DC Smith singing Son of Hickory Hollers Tramp. I know those two, is that?
Okay, well, I'm sure Son of Hickory's
Hollers Tramp.
Hollers Tramp.
Yes.
I had forgotten the last part.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's a fine song.
It is awesome. It's sad, but awesome. Not quite as sad as Buddy Greco and Mr. Lonely, because that's bits in bits.
Happy Days would be a good one. Yeah.
Happy Days, yeah. With, of course, the DAZE. I suppose so. Now, you talked about show titles, and we talked about Fantasy Island and the connection from that point of view, and the fact that, was this inspired by the Fonz?
It was, yes. Absolutely.
Do you know to whom I'm referring when I say the Fonz, Lucy? No. I see. Never on Coronation Street, Mr. Winkler. Never had the opportunity to be there. Ron Howard never actually directed Coronation Street. Different routine. Tessa, the Fonz?
I don't think so. It kind of rings a bell, but...
David, the Fonz?
Oh, I remember. Well, the Fonz, Happy Days.
Happy, exactly.
Happy Days.
Monday, Tuesday, Happy Days. Monday.
Yeah.
Does this inspire Happy Days with D-A-Z-E, as in Happy Days, or is this just a case of no, it's the spelling, Happy Days 16?
It's actually about me growing up in a town called Billericay in Essex. So the song's actually written about that, but the actual song title and the idea came from Happy Days, the TV series from the 70s.
And Happy Days 16, as in 1916? Because you don't look that mature.
there was a first version which was pre 16. So I thought, so people didn't get confused and bought the wrong one, I need to call it 16.
So this is Happy Days, it's like version 2.0 in terms of various other things. Like Happy Days 2.0, but Happy Days...
Yes.
16.
Yes.
Here it comes.
Here we are again, seeking out the blue. When I wake up in the morning, there's one thing on my mind. In 12 hours' time, then I will be mine. The sun disappears, the stars start to glow. We meet at some corner and ready to go. Happy days, happy days. The night lasts forever and you'll be your mate. Happy days, happy days. The night lasts forever and you'll be your mate. Up the bar, bottom bar.
Our friends are here and we're having a ball. Some that we like, some we don't at all. The guys in the corner have wondering eyes. They fall to their knees and rehearse their goodbyes. Happy days, happy days. The night lasts forever and you'll be amazed.
I'd say that's another winner. What say you, Tess?
Yes, most definitely.
Yee! There we are. The sound of one hand clapping in the dark, the ultimate in accolades for Delta High, who we've been featuring exhaustively on the programme today, and quite rightly so, too. Where do we go to from here, effectively? Where do we go to from here? Los Angeles, possibly. You know, Phil hasn't pressed those magical buttons to connect via Skype. We'll just wait and see. If you're waiting for Phil Hurdwood, who knows what could be happening there.
Well, I've got to go.
You do indeed. You have to head off down the road to Glinton, a little place just outside the joys of Peterborough. But inevitably, we need to ensure that your jingle and ident is actually put together. So we'll pull that whole thing through. And then a quick reminder, of course, you can still enter for a matter of actually hours now, because it's going to be 13 hours from now where we'll be revealing the winner of the Lightbox competition. This is with the Sleepyhead Clinic, an opportunity to actually have a whole new alarm clock which wakes you up using the natural terms of light itself. And you can go to simply do four things technically, but what you have to do is be connected on Twitter. You can do this actually, David, feel free to do so. Twitter at Sleepy Clinic. That's Twitter at Sleepy Clinic.
Yeah.
Next one, Facebook Sleepy Head Clinic. That's SLEEPYHEAD.clinic. And then finally, Instagram. Don't you just love it? Tessa certainly does. At Sleepy Shefsky, which is SLEEPYSHEFSKI. That's the trickiest one, of course.
Okay.
At Sleepy Shefsky. So Twitter at Sleepy Clinic, Facebook sleepyhead.clinic, and Instagram at Sleepy Shefsky. Actually, Facebook's at Sleepy Head Clinic. Once you've done that, simply share the Facebook page and the Facebook routine, and you will be in with an opportunity to win a light box.
Okay.
All you need to do is are you a social media person, Lucy?
Yes. Definitely.
Are you going to be entering that competition?
I could, yeah. Well,
you could. Definitely. You could write it down. Go for that whole process and so on. I mean, social media from your own perspective, Neil?
Scary,
but
yes.
It has to be done. Necessary.
Yeah, it has to be done.
Yes, yeah. Work our way through that. It could be an ideal opportunity there. So that's the key thing. A reminder, final time, Twitter at Sleepy Clinic, Facebook Sleepy Head Clinic, and then Instagram at Sleepy Shefsky, and then magical things will definitely take place, just as actually Philip Hurdwood would actually say something like...
Glinton has now officially been put on the broadcasting map, with Tessa Snart taking midweek drivette duties to a whole new level.
So, Tessa, when will Sound and Country Vision actually return? I mean, obviously, we can fill for you for a considerable period of time. We have lots of other key things there, but the exactly when are we going?
In a short while, very soon. I'm working on it. That's working on it.
That's the important thing. It will happen, and it will take place. Just as I'm sure we will connect with Phil Dennis, we might actually have to use the telephone line for some bizarre reason, because you know this thing's happening. Tessa, farewell. Obviously, Phil will be devastated, but it's his fault. He should have been there online.
Say hello to him.
Exactly. So, and will you be tuning in to Delta High?
I will be, most definitely. I'll be following in all the socials as
exactly
well.
That's what more, and when you're followed by Tessa on the socials, then basically your star can only go one way, heavenwards.
Fantastic.
Marvellous.
Thank you.
Weekly Chilpack Hollywood podcasts, monthly Los Angeles Breakfast Club shows, a cat called, yep, Fuzz Aldrin, and partner to the awesome Lily Holman. Just some of the co-creations filmmaker Phil Leonis brings to the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive morning editions.
Quite right too, Phil. We thought you'd forgotten all about us, but you're just in time to say hi and bye once again to Tessa Snart.
Oh, excellent. Well, it was too much enjoying? Jeez, I've got to stop being drunk when I call. I was enjoying far too much listening to Tessa to even consider Skyping in, because the moment I Skype in, I stop hearing the show. So, Tessa, how are you? It's so good to be with you.
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Better now. Where the heck have you been?
Well, I've been hiding under a rock, you see, ever since leaving university.
You may hide, but your lights can never be hidden.
Oh, that's very kind of you.
It's wonderful. It's silky smooth, really, in many ways, I feel. It's almost as though Leonis has come home from that point of view, which is one of the reasons why I have suggested that Phil and Lily should actually honeymoon in Glinton, just outside Peterborough. It's a thought, though. Well, have a Snart family on the doorstep from that perspective.
Well, the weather's been good, hasn't it?
Yeah, so you see, Lily apparently wants to go somewhere hot and warm, etc. Say, what's wrong with Glinton? You could try Holy Island as well, that's another thing. Try Norwich. Try Nottingham.
You know, it is interesting because, just between us, I mean, because nobody's listening, right? And you'll cut this out so it's not available on the podcast. When discussing guest lists for weddings, it's always an interesting thing when you know, you bring up, but I don't know those people, and then the response is, but they'll pay for a trip for us if they come to the wedding.
You see what I did there?
Hey, have you Alex Levchuk, have you received a postcard in the mail?
Do you know, as yet I haven't, Phil. Now that obviously I'm just, the anticipation, the sense of anticipation is just awesome in so many ways.
I did leave Cleveland entirely off, seriously off the label, so I hope it still gets to you. Well, but there's only so much room on an address label, and you gave me like 15 lines of address. So
you've got to have precision, you know, when you're actually contacting somebody in Middlesbrough, you know, you need to get that sort of focus from that sort of point of view. Middlesbrough, of course, is the home of all sorts of magical things. David, of course, who has also spoken to Phil Leonis on many an occasion.
That's right. Great to hear your voice again, Phil. How are you doing? Are you keeping well?
It's nice of you to say it's great to hear my voice. That's high praise coming from a man with the single greatest voice in broadcasting. I'm doing excellent.
Thank you. Very kind.
Yeah, you see, Ed Wellman and myself been usurped by our Scottish man. Tessa, I think you do have to head off now,
so we shall
send you with best wishes, etc., and you'll be promoting the joys of Delta High and The Love God, of course, the newest album, which is available there. And presumably people can even purchase this album in the United States of America.
Yes, it's available. I've got quite a few people that have been buying it in America, so I'm very lucky. Yes,
absolutely. Phil, you've had a chance to hopefully catch part of the programme, admittedly the whole range of other bits and pieces. I'll also give, for the final time, birthday wishes to Dean Hagland. Last year I actually was one of the first people to wish him a happy birthday. This time I was the last. But there we are. It's balance, what I call synchronicity and balance in full force there. And, of course, last week, Phil, you were off after the show to the Hollywood premiere of Mission Impossible, I like the way you took my little suggestion that it's just like a remake of View to a Kill and said, but there's another movie in the Mission Impossible series which is just like a remake of License to Kill with Timothy Dalton. Very good. We're on to something here.
Yeah, I don't know if remake is exactly the right word.
Homage.
I don't even know if that. Let's just call it ripoff. But it is a fascinating idea. And When I was sitting there realizing I don't know if Hollywood has ever created this reliable an action franchise that covered this amount of time, it really is becoming our variation on or our version, I guess you could say, of James Bond in terms of franchise success and quality. Over a long period of time, because even the Jason Bourne franchise, the last two installments have really fallen off the table. So it is an interesting idea that they maybe intentionally took their cues. But if that's the case, how smart is it that they took their cues from what are considered lesser successful chapters in the James Bond franchise? Because like I said with Dean, if you stole from Goldfinger, if you stole from, Skyfall or Casino Royale more recently, people would really notice and people would say, oh, you're just copying. But this way, stealing from something that maybe didn't work so well is such a good idea if you can pull it off. It's why it's actually always for a filmmaker, you really don't want to have to adapt a great novel. You would rather adapt a popular but, not so artistically successful novel because you can make it better.
Indeed so. So, on that little phrase, we've talked about... Phil, have you heard any of Delta High's latest album, The Love God, that we've been playing? I mean, obviously we had Fantasy Island, we had Happy Days, we had The Love God, top of the programme. Still available, we have, of course, With You. We've got Springtime Groove 18. Very nice. In the summer. Ironic, but still quite nice. And it's obviously going to be springtime somewhere. A whole heap of other goodies from that point of view. What say you, would you like to hear another one beamed across the airways to the Atlantic for your good self with, of course, the writer extraordinaire in the studio? That is, of course, the amazing Neil Jackson.
I not only would like it, I demand it.
That sounds
good. Answer.
So which one would you like to go for, Neil?
I'd like to actually go for Springtime Groove because that's actually
yes.
the new single. And it's clearly not springtime at the moment, so there's another reason to play it.
This is what we like to hear. And I can tell, Phil, that you're obviously, it's floating your boat. Is it floating your boat, David?
Oh, without a doubt. Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Wondrous, wondrous stuff. And what did you make of that Phil-ianus?
Has there ever been anything less than an awesome song with spring in the title? I mean, you, just off the top of your head, you go, it might as well be spring. For me, Spring by Saint Etienne is one of my favorites. Spring, Summer, Autumn by the Style Council. Springtime for Hitler from the Producers. Oh. All excellent. And this one, sensational.
Exactly. And I hold my head momentarily in shame because I realised that we were building up Phil Herdwood, of course your namesake, Phil Leonis, to huge extent. Of course, I was only dialing the wrong number. Phil Herdwood, welcome to the programme. Whoa.
No, listen, thank you. No, look, you see, no, these things happen. A little temporary telephonic hiccup. I wouldn't necessarily blot you out of my... out of my address book as a result.
Thank the Lord for that. You see, that there, well, there speaks a man who, when he was a college student in Belfast, actually helped teach Liam Neeson all he actually knows. And who?
Oh, well, I did. I mean, where would he be without me? Well, probably the same place, I expect.
Exactly. You know, you've got to sort that whole thing through from that perspective. Phil Herdwood, I'll introduce you to the team. Actually, Phil Leonis, would you like to introduce Phil Herdwood to the team? Because let's face it, in Los Angeles, what better person to welcome folk in? Because neither Phil Herdwood nor myself will be doing, which is pretty much what Dean Hagland was doing entirely through the entire sort of line of Chill Pack Hollywood. I was thinking,
you've got some carpentry going on.
Exactly.
Right.
Carpentry?
New cupboards or something?
I mean, I just don't know what was happening, but it's well worth checking out just to see, because I'm glad you addressed the line, Phil, midway through the programme and said, what are you doing there, Dean, in Australia? What are you doing? Still.
It just became terrible, and I apologize. Apologies in advance for those of you who have yet to listen to this week's podcast. No, please, Alex, go ahead with the introductions for Phil. I just enjoy. I'm ruminating on the on the show that I want to do with Phil Herwood myself. Mm. A Tale of Two Phils. I don't know what we would do. What the name of it would be?
I tell you what, we could have it and have lots of sound and lots of records, and we could call it The Phils Are Alive with the Sound of Music.
Oh my! We could do that, and then if we wanted to have a name that would, if we then wanted to have a name that would make people tune in, we could then change that name.
Of course, we could.
A little bit of tension there.
Have your fill. Have your fill. You could have that, fill it up,
I can see that clearly there's magic, no pun intended, David. Wait to work it all the way through.
I tell you what, if we were in the same room, we'd come up with a sitcom.
One of these days, it will happen. You may be in Little London, Philip Herdwood, and Phil Leonis may be over in Los Angeles, but one day we'll get... And besides, you've been over to Los Angeles several times, Philip, with Rachel, a daughter.
Oh, a lot of times. Oh, yes, and separately. I've still got pals in Los Angeles, actually. I've still got some very good friends with whom I'm in almost constant... I speak to them now and again. They're good, fun people. Hmm. But, L.A. is a great place. I'm very fond of L.A., actually. I like it a lot. Yeah.
Well, I hope in the future you will consider me an audio pal. And
I think we should do this definitely. I mean, we've heard of pen pals. Right. We're electronic. We can move further. We can be little digital buddies here and keep the Phils alive with the sound of music, with the sound of politics, with the sound of media studies. The world is our lobster, isn't it? Really,
Neil Jackson. If this doesn't inspire another song for Delta High, I'll be astonished.
I think it sounds wonderful.
Exactly. We launched with the Love God. It could have been either targeted for Phil Herdwood, Phil Leonis,
well,
or indeed.
Well, of course, naturally enough, I regard myself very much in that light, and my adoring fans do as well.
Exactly, and indeed David Fox, H magician extraordinaire, and just all around wonderful sort of folk. Neil, it's been your first show, and of course your daughter Lucy has also been making her debut on the production. Lucy, how have you found the last couple of hours?
Really fun, actually.
Good
heavens. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Thank you for having me.
Well, there we are. Alex,
I need to point out how often I would place it at 95%. The amount of time when you ask young women how they've enjoyed their time on the show, the word actually is always used in their response, as in I had a great time actually, which has to make you wonder what's the rumor that they're hearing before they go.
I think there's a pattern. There's a pattern. You've only got to join the dots.
Yeah. Of course, Mr. Herdwood, we started back in the 80s. That was the 1880s, of course, when radio
well,
shows...
Well, it felt like... Some mornings it feels like the 1880s.
The very notion of connecting with a Los Angeles correspondent via Skype and yourself is just extraordinary. Still, there we are.
But yes, 1980s, it does seem like an awfully... Well, because it is an awfully long time ago.
Is it really, though?
1980s, we were nothing but callow youths.
Exactly,
at that time.
Exactly.
But you know what you did, though? You relished in your youth, and that's the important thing.
We both relished. We had a jolly good... We did have a lot of relishing, didn't we, Alex? I mean, there's no question about it. In fact, every time I used to come into that little sweaty studio and drink awful bloody lemonade and eat biscuits, we were... Actually, there was a part of me that was relishing it.
Which is nice. That's good to hear. We're not, in case you're wondering, David Fox, talking about the studio we're in at present, air-conditioned.
No, far from it. No.
About a broom cupboard in South London, in Dulwich. So there we are, which was fun. But we used to do it. Lots of famous people came into that broom cupboard.
We did all manner of good things there, didn't we? Yeah, we did 24-hour broadcasts to raise money for hospital equipment.
Phil Leonis has actually seen video evidence of those broadcasts, in fact.
Well, were we not fresh-faced, Phil? We were fresh-faced, the pair of us, Alex and I.
Oh, yes. Alex, razor-sharp appearance in those.
Oh,
I mean, I saw the 33 and a third hour marathon in tribute to the death of Vinyl, which, by the way, is back, so I expect another 33 and a third revival meeting.
Absolutely, we can write all that up on a typewriter. Yeah, absolutely.
But, I mean, he not only... his energy not only did not flag from the point of view of being an announcer and an interviewer, but appearance-wise, the man didn't break a sweat in 33 and a third hours. Razor-sharp.
I don't know how he did it.
A skinny tie. I mean, he looked like he was making punk safe for us new waivers. It was extraordinary.
It was breathtaking, and I think that was part of Alex's legacy.
And that's what you can put on my tombstone. There we are. David Fox, a little insight there into the background of the show that you joined a couple of years ago.
By the way, Alex, I would also put on your tombstone, he's still very much with us.
Exactly. Yes, yes. And relishing it, too. And relishing it.
Or as Spike Milligan once wanted to have, "See, I told you I was ill."
Yeah, or I demand a second opinion. I think it was the other
one. Right, but we haven't had a chance to really ask Neil. Have you found? I mean, now you made it to the studio all the way from Norwich, England.
Yeah.
You know, where do you position it on this? Does it match in any way, shape, or form being a support band for REM?
It's definitely up there. I mean, it took us about 3 hours to get through security to get out of Norfolk.
Of course.
Once we got over the border, I must say, it's been a terrific show and really, really enjoyed it. So it's up there with REM, yes.
Ooh. Wow.
Well, I just say that because I share a similar star sign with Michael Stipe from REM. So
a similar one.
And Philip Herdwood. We're all Capricorns. That's the bottom line.
We are indeed little bouncing little goats.
David Bowie, Rod Stewart. It's amazing. Yes. I don't know how Phil Leonis as a Sagittarius can cope with life at all. But still, there we are.
But I share hairstyles with Michael Stipe, so there you go.
Well,
how about that? Yeah, indeed. A tonsure of elegance.
You're listening to Reminiscences and Reflections on the Midweek Drive Morning. Midweek Drive Morning Edition comes up tomorrow morning. Time for you, Phil Leonis, to take the reins as you... Actually, it's nip and tug, actually, between yourself and Philip Herdwood. Now, I'll point you, head boy, in deference to, obviously, the American state of play on the world stage, of course, with presidents, etc. Who do you wish to chat to? Do you want us to chat to Neil Jackson? David Fox, Philip Herdwood, 5 minutes, free form. Take it wherever you wish, Phil.
Well, I want to know more about Delta High, quite frankly. I want, when can I see Delta High perform in Los Angeles?
At your wedding, I've told you, Phil. Invite them over.
wedding. Exactly. That would be such a... Congratulations. You've graduated to wedding band status.
I must admit, with Delta High, we're a studio band. I'm actually putting a live band together. With regards to seeing us, we've got two videos out probably within the month. So on YouTube, if you just look up Delta High, we're going to have two videos which we just recorded on the sunny east coast of Norfolk. So that's going to be out pretty soon. A lot of the music that you hear on the Love God album is very focused on my beliefs in the Beach Boys and the Queen were just like the greatest ever. So a lot of the music styles are definitely sort of American West Coast harmony. I'm really into harmonies, etc. So that's really the vision that I have with music.
So the Fills are alive. The Fills are alive, aren't they? There's no question.
True, they are indeed.
There's also such a blending, though, of soul to it that I find just really spirited.
Yes, and there's that lovely sense of kind of going back in time a little bit and respecting some of those wonderful classic rock bands. I mean, there's no doubt that the Beach Boys were melodically and symphonically and all the rest of it quite wonderful. I mean, I'm sitting here in front of my record collection and I'm looking at about six Beach Boys albums, including Smile and everything. Yes. I mean, just astonishing stuff.
Yeah. Would the two
but
films...
certainly that springtime number, though, certainly a little bit of a Motown rhythm to it, though, at the same time.
Would the two films like Sunshine City, Arizona?
Well, I did. If I knew what it was, I bet you I'd relish it.
I have a timeshare.
What do you think, David? Sunshine City, Arizona?
Sounds fantastic.
Okay with
Sounds
you?
Sounds like a gambling joint, doesn't it?
Really? Absolutely. Do you know what? I actually wrote this at a seaside resort in Norfolk called Great Yarmouth. So I wrote the song and I thought, okay, Sunshine City, lovely, warm, summery, big beach. I can't call it Sunshine City, Great Yarmouth, though, because that's not catchy. So I just threw in Arizona. So that's the title.
So lead vocals, Damien, and Verity, presumably, then?
No, on that one. It's actually a different lady. It's Lisa Wolfe.
But what does Phil Hurdwood make of Sunshine City, Arizona? Phil Hurdwood?
Well, I really like that a lot, actually. And I liked all the kind of influences. And I could hear some funk going on. I could hear some 1960s West Coast. I could hear that wonderful kind of driving feel from the album, from the piece. I'm hearing a bit of an echo coming back up. So, but I really enjoyed it thoroughly.
And Phil Leonis?
I have now gone down a rabbit hole of reading everything I can about Delta High on the web right now, so please don't distract me.
Thank you.
Just the important thing. That's almost it for the programme, David. Have you enjoyed your time back on the Midway Drive?
Absolutely fantastic. Great to be back. As always, lots of good humour, good music, good people, so be good to join you again sometime.
This is good. Yeah. Lucy, actually, better than she thought, actually, which is nice. What about yourself, Neil Jackson? Was it worth the journey from Norwich?
It's been an absolute pleasure, and I've loved listening to the guests and seeing the magic tricks from David as well.
So. Originally, of course, you emerged from London, I believe.
Yes, I'm actually from North London, yeah.
Any particular side of North London? Tottenham, Arsenal?
The North side.
So we did that.
Yeah, neither.
And a supporter of which particular club?
A team up in the northwest.
No, obviously there is only one team in the northwest. It's Manchester City, and I suspect you're not going to say that.
I'm not going to say that.
No,
one.
It's no. It's Jose Mourinho. I know. It's a we can cope with that.
There we go.
Philip Hurdwood, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
I have had a thoroughly enjoyable time, and I'm very pleased to have bonded with Phil, and I'm now going to be part of that team, that relishable team. The Phils are alive with the Sound of Music.
You're not going to let that lie, are you?
No, I would not let it lie. No, I wouldn't.
No.
No, I wouldn't, you see. No.
And Phil Dennis, good for you?
Hey, I wrote down the phrase temporary telephone hiccup as soon as Phil got on the line, because I'm going to be using that descriptive myself.
It's worth having.
I've had a wonderful time, Alex.
Thanks to Jill Fielding, our very own self-made millionaire. Yay, and founder of Money Mom, and How Monopoly Can Make Children Super Rich. Listen again to the podcast. William Coles, of course, from Nice in France. Anna Lewis from London. Eva McDonald from Saltfleet. Charlotte Mundy from Pilgrim's Fudge Kitchen in Holy Island. Phil Hurdwood, we got in the end from Little London, which is fantastic. And Phil Innes, and you, dear listener. Thanks also to Tessa Snart, to David Fox, Neil Jackson, and Lucy May Jackson, I believe.
Yes.
There you are, sorted. Are you with us tomorrow morning, Phil Leonis, for the Midweek Drive Morning Edition?
Alex, I will be recording the first episode of an audio series that I have been cast in called The Sleeve Talkers, about the night shift Secret Service detail at the White House. This is all true. I'm cast to play one of the roles in this. One of the agents, and none other than the great Dana Carvey is playing President Trump.
Fantastic. We'll hold with that. We'll be back with you next week. We'll be back with you next week. Okay, speak well. Can we all say bye-bye?
Bye-bye. Take care, guys.
News coming up in a few seconds, literally from now, on Siren Radio, followed by a whole range of other fantastic materials. And we'll see you in the morning for the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. And I'm talking now to actually fill those last few seconds as we head to the news, as the jingle is about
FM,
to go.
FM. Online. Mobile. This is Siren Radio. Lincoln.